Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Coming up in just a couple moments, we'll have a chat with Stampeders head coach Dave Dickinson coming off a win against the BC Lions and ahead of their matchup against the Toronto Argonauts on Saturday. But we've been doing this all morning and wanted to continue it now. Our pal Eric Francis from Sportsnet giving us a luxury box for Saturday's Stamps game at McMahon against the Argos. And we're doing an auction for our pals at Kidsport Calgary. Our initial bid was $700. Since then, we have surpassed it. Kelly coming in at $1,250. Thank you to Kelly for that.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
Got that applause ready there, buddy. Nope.
My sheer auction. Yeah, I'm sorry. It's okay.
He's scrambling. Right? He's scrambling. There we go.
Appreciate that, Kelly. If you can beat $1,250, you can give us a call at 403-240-4444. Luxury box, 16 seats, 4 parking passes, private washroom, food at the game, nachos, chicken wings, popcorn, all the good stuff for you, and all of the money going to our friends at Kidsport Calgary. So once again, if you can beat Kelly's bid of $1,250, give us a call at 403-240-4444. Alex will get your call and take down your information. We're not doing it over the text line, just doing phone calls today.
Just need the confirmation. Want to see the real person.
See the real person. That's not how phones work.
FaceTime, I guess.
You can beat that bid of $1,250 for the luxury box for Saturday Stamps game against the Argonauts at McMahon Stadium. All the money going to our friends at Kidsport Calgary. We go down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline this morning. Welcome in the head coach of the Calgary Stampeders, Dave Dickinson. Good morning, Dave. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
We're doing good. Thanks for spending some time with us this morning. Obviously, big win for your team over the weekend in BC. What did you like about your group going back to that win against the Lions?
There was a lot to like about that group. I thought, honestly, it was probably our best game in all three phases. I thought we stepped up in our physical play. I thought we were mentally locked in on our assignments. And the guys were emotionally vested in the game. So maybe wasn't, like you said, the highest scoring affair, but I thought all three phases played well.
How important is it to see your group bounce back after a loss against that same Lions team at home at McMahon?
I thought it was important. You know, we really hadn't, in my opinion, beaten a team, you know, in the top level of our league. We had beat Toronto early in the year. At that point, they were still, I think, about around 500, and they're obviously playing way better now. But I just wanted to see how we fit up against a lot of these best teams, and we've been right there, but just hadn't won any of those games. So I thought it was important for us to go in there and beat a team on the road. You know, obviously a team that you may face in the playoffs, it looks like it's quite likely we're going to face them. And a team that had beat you twice already. So it was one of those things where you never say you got to go into a place with a must win at this point in the season. But I felt like we needed to go out there and play our best game and get better and finish with that W.
Obviously, the big news around your team right now, Dave, came out yesterday with the news that Jake Mayer signed an extension with the team. How do you feel knowing that you're going to have Jake in the fold for the next couple seasons?
Yeah, it's kind of weird because it is a good move for the future, and you always want that stability and you want those guys locked into contracts, but really doesn't have a lot of impact on this season. Mm-hmm. You know, it is something that good organizations sign their players up for longer-term contracts, but it really doesn't have an impact right now on what we're doing. We're just trying to keep everyone competing. We want to make sure everyone's improving. We want to make sure that everybody is here for a reason. And Jake's done a great job. I mean, he really has played the position well. And lots of improving still left to do. Excited to hopefully be a part of that.
Obviously, I gather from your last answer where this will go, but you know, people will ask about Bo Levi Mitchell and what that means for him going forward. But I obviously gather from what you said there, Dave, that for now, it probably doesn't change anything from your day-to-day now that that's been done.
Not for me. I mean, we've been in pretty good contact. I understand everybody does. It's not the easiest situation when you feel like you got two guys that ultimately are starters in the league. that's a positive for our organization, as long as both guys commit to just being good teammates and working hard and doing the things to make our team better. And I think we've been doing that. So it's important for us to continue doing that. It's important for each individual to find ways to get themselves better. And it's a team sport. It is hard, though, as a quarterback. You know, if you're not playing, you're not getting any action. It's not like when you're a linebacker and you're not playing, you usually get on special teams or same thing. You can find other ways to contribute. You know, there's 5-6 receivers out there at once. As a quarterback, if you're not playing or you're not the guy, it is certainly tougher to stay kind of, I guess, motivated and positive. And we want positive people in our room and people that are here for the right reasons. And it's my job to keep everyone on the same page, and hopefully I can do that.
Back to some of the on-field stuff for you going forward. One guy I wanted to ask you about was Malik Henry. Seems like he's got a great connection with Jake Mayer since Jake's sort of taken over the reins as starting quarterback. What have you seen from Malik that's made that connection so good to start things off with the two?
Well, I mean, he's had a good connection with both our guys. I mean, he had some big games with Bo earlier in the year. His main thing was staying healthy and staying explosive, and he's playing with confidence. You know, he's a fast player that can run routes. He's been doing better at his blocking. He's improving. I mean, he is still a young player as well. So, you know, he's getting more comfortable in how we want to use him. We're moving him around more, meaning he's playing the slot as well as the wideout. Teams obviously know where he's at, but he has definitely taken a nice step forward this year.
Obviously, going back to the BC game, a tough loss on your offensive line, losing Derek Dennis. How big of a hole does that leave for your group at that left tackle spot, Dave?
It's a big loss. I mean, every team's going to go through injuries, but, you know, Derek has been, you know, really playing quite well. Love having him in the room and also like, his energy. He's our residential DJ. He plays the music. He controls that sort of stuff. So somebody's going to have to step up not only on the field, but come together and see which type of music they want to get for the guys to keep them focused. But it is a big loss, and Derek's a great person. He's out there, like he said, one of our leaders. He's super, super tough. I mean, our trainer didn't even think it was a massive injury because Derek's like, oh, I just felt something snap, and he wasn't really in that lot. He didn't seem like he was in that much pain, but ultimately, yeah, it's a broken leg and something that ultimately, yes, will heal, but not this year.
How tough is it when you're trying to replace a guy that's been, you know, a steady force at that left tackle spot, and I guess just the tackle position in general when it comes to filling that role in the CFL?
Well, there's not a lot of those guys out. There's probably the hardest position to fill, yeah. You know, because and here's the other thing is the NFL is just not getting rid of any of their guys either. And then you got other leagues down in the States that are grabbing guys, and there's just not that many guys built like that. You know, there's a ton of receivers out there, and a lot of them are born and raised in Canada. But you just look at as far as you look at tackles and guys that can play that position, it's very difficult to find those guys. So we've got a couple of solid candidates in-house, and then Bryce Bell also, when he moved out there, did a fair job. I mean, he held his own. So feel like, yes, we can definitely find a way to make it work, but a big loss nevertheless.
Speaking of Bryce Bell, pretty remarkable season for him now, filling in for Sean McEwen at center. I thought he did a pretty tremendous job filling in at that position. Now, obviously, you mentioned playing a little bit of left tackle there. He's been a jack of all trades for your offensive line.
Yeah, and I mean, he played tackle, though, in college, and I feel like he's, you know, fairly comfortable there. You know, we've moved him inside to guard because that's where we have our Canadian guys. And then he became our backup center, which is the toughest one. That's the toughest one. I mean, if you haven't played center, it's got a lot on your plate. You're making all the line calls. You're telling everyone where to go. Now you got to not only block the guy, you got to make a nice snap to the quarterback. But I think he's held his own in there. But I do feel like when he went out to tackle, he was pretty comfortable out there. That's what he's used to. He just has to probably get more reps. And I think he is one of our guys that we really think when we drafted him that he was versatile. You know, I think just the more he plays, the better he'll get.
Wanted to ask you about Javian Elliott. He makes his debut in the season, getting into that game against the BC Lions on Saturday. How did you feel he performed in that game?
He looked good. He's still fighting, you know, a little bit, like as far as if you haven't played any football and you ultimately what your body does is it gets used to playing weekly games, and he really hasn't played a game for years. He played last year, so his preseason game when he got hurt was fairly early in the game. So, you know, for him to go out there and play 60 plays and play at that level, I thought was very impressive.
And just another moving piece on that backhand for you. It's not anything new to you guys to be bringing guys in and out of your defensive backfield. That's kind of been a constant for your group this entire season.
It has. We'd like to stabilize things. I felt like, you know, I thought the two guys playing into the boundary of the short side of the field, which was JV and Mox, kind of had our best game of the year, kind of finding a groove and communication and making life a little tougher over there. And then Kobe Williams has settled in and done well at the Sam. You know, we do have Brandon Dozier played a bit and came back. I think he's got options that can play there. And our field guys, Brad Muhammad, and we went with Tremaine Washington out there. That was kind of a new combination as well. Brad's been consistent. Brad is he's a tackling machine, a football player. And then Tremaine, I thought, really battled hard and played fairly well. I mean, they tried to get him with his size to get some tall guys on him, but he competes. Yeah, they got one on him, but that ultimately was the only play that really got him. So our group was better. Now can we stay together and can we rally and improve? We'll see.
Chatting with Calgary Stampeders head coach Dave Dickinson here on Sportsnet today. Dave, obviously next up for your team is a home game Saturday against the Toronto Argonauts. What challenges do you see that this Toronto team is going to present for you on Saturday?
Well, first off, they've got great personnel and they've been fairly healthy. They lost some guys early, but they're getting healthy and you know, they've got a lot of talent. Their defense is really right now taking it to the next level. They're outscoring the other team's offense. So it's really has been, you know, you look at them, impressive what they're doing and they're rallying. So we'll have our hands full. You know, we enjoy challenges and we know that'll be a big one. And we need to, you know, try to keep winning at home. We haven't been as good at home as we've been on the road. So we want to make that a tough place to win. And our fans have really showed up. I have to admit, I think it's been a great atmosphere. I think our fans have been showing up, making it loud, making it tough on opposing teams. And we'll need it again.
I imagine the pressure that you got on Vernon Adams and the ability to stop him from moving outside the pocket is something that you'd like to continue this weekend against McLeod Bethel Thompson.
Well, I mean, anytime you got to get after the quarterback. If he's comfortable back there, they're too good in all leagues. And McLeod's been playing really well. I mean, he makes plays outside the pocket as well, but he's very comfortable just sitting in there and making throws. The receiving core has been up in their game, and they stay balanced. They have run and pass options. So they're a complete team. I mean, I know the last time we played them, we lost what we do a special teams battle. It was our worst game. So we know right now, all three phases, we're going to have to be our best to beat them.
So you've got Toronto this weekend, then a late season bye. I'm just kind of curious how you see that late season bye working for your team. Is that something that you see as an advantage late in the season, getting set for the last couple of weeks into the playoffs, Dave?
You know, you just take it as whatever they schedule. I mean, yeah. I don't think it hurts for the, you know, in theory, you'd like to have a bye like heading into the West Final. That's what you want, is that bye there. But that's going to be pretty difficult for us. But it's one of those things that I do think it could help. It also will allow our guys to kind of, you know, focus in on that stretch drive. But how are we going to go into the bye? I mean, a lot of times teams, and it's just human nature, when you play a game with a bye the next week, it's how do you play that game and where's your mind? And, you know, to be straight up, we've been pretty good, but we have to make sure we understand that we got to take care of business and go play our best game, and then we can make plans for the bye. And I think as long as our guys do that, hopefully we get the win.
Injury-wise, anything coming out of that BC game besides Derek that concerns you heading into Saturday, or how's the group feeling?
We've got a couple guys, unfortunately, that are going to have a tough time playing this week. So we just got to figure out how we're going to make it happen. And, you know, there's just so many – football's rough. You know, you get, like, broken thumbs, and you get these wrist injuries, and you get hamstring pulls. And you're basically trying to just I guess you're trying to manage what's the risk versus reward. You want to win. You want everyone, basically your best lineup out there. But are you putting a guy out there that is putting himself maybe in a little bit too high a risk? Because you do feel like you want to rally for your playoff run. So these are still important games. We got four more before the playoffs. We're happy to be in the playoffs. That was, for us, first goal. Now can we rally and play our best football heading into those games? We'll see.
Dave, last one for you. Just wanted to get your thoughts on the season that Kadeem Carey's had for your group. He's leading the league in rushing and seems to be able to, you know, always hit that big run when you guys need it. It's not necessarily, you know, dropping yards or runs of 50, 60 yards, but you know, getting those good gains every time he gets the ball seems to be a strength of Kadeem this year.
Well, I mean, it's been the last 2 years. You know, his main thing, like you said, is he really runs with passion, and he doesn't take any plays off. He's really catching the ball well. He's blocking well. You know, we feel like we've got good running backs, and he's, I think, putting himself at the top of the league this year for sure. He is a guy that, you know, like I think is very reliable. He shows up with you can tell he's on. You know, you can't say that Kadeem isn't invested in giving you his best effort. So I think the fans know what they're going to get with Kadeem, and ultimately that makes us a better team.
Dave, thanks for the time. Really appreciate it. Best of luck Saturday against Toronto. We'll talk to you again next week, hey?
Sounds like a plan. Thanks, guys.
There you go. Thanks, Dave. There you go. Head coach of the Calgary Stampeders is Dave Dickinson, his team taking on the Toronto Argonauts this weekend in a big game for his group ahead of a Week 18 bye. Following that game, Patrick, Hamilton is in town Friday, October 14th. Then a home-and-home set with the Saskatchewan Roughriders to finish things off. And if you're the Stampeders, you want to handle business the next couple of weeks and hope that those Saskatchewan games maybe don't mean as much, but when you're battling with BC now, just splitting that series, you're going to have to do some winning down the stretch here if you want to have the you know home field advantage in that West semi, right?
I like the way the season finishes up here for the Stampeders. Like you said, Toronto, Hamilton, and then the home and home with Saskatchewan with a bye week thrown in there as well. I like it better than the way it sets up for BC. I know BC has to end with the home and home with Winnipeg, whether or not the Bombers will be, because all in likelihood, the Bombers with a win this weekend will clinch the first spot in the West Final. So you want to see what do they have to offer at the end of the year? Well, how many guys are going to be playing? Will those games matter as much for Winnipeg as they do for BC? So schedule-wise, I do like the way it sets up for the Stampeders. I know you lost your tiebreaker. They lost the tiebreaker with BC. So it's all about getting the wins against the East. Toronto is a much improved group than the last time they played, as Dave mentioned. And then Hamilton, you know, you don't know what you're going to get from Hamilton. Well, 1 week they're beating the Bombers, but I think Winnipeg just, you know, that was just going to happen. They were on a good clip. They're going to take the foot off the gas pedal a few times. So we don't really know what Hamilton is. I don't think they're a very good group with Dane Evans, regardless. So then you set up with the finale with Saskatchewan, and we know what's going on with the Riders right now. This is not the season that they needed. They're hosting the Grey Cup. They're crossing over in all likelihood, and they know that no team has ever crossed over, has ever made it to the Grey Cup. So pressure's on in Saskatchewan. So right now I'm thinking, you know, with BC not having their starter at Nathan Rourke, and you don't know what Vernon Adams can do week to week, this sets up best for Calgary to get into that two spot and have a home playoff game.
If you would like to attend Saturday's game.
Hell yeah.
Toronto and Calgary. In a luxury box at McMahon Stadium, we have an opportunity for you. We've been running our auction all morning long in support of Kids Sport Calgary, a suite with 16 spots in it, 16 tickets for you to attend the game Saturday against the Argos. 4 parking passes. This suite is right on the 50-yard line on the east side. Private bathroom. Provide some food for you, some nachos, chicken wings, popcorn, all that good stuff. And, of course, the opportunity to watch the Stampeders at home against the Toronto Argonauts. If you would like to be a part of this auction, all of the proceeds are going to our pals at Kidsport Calgary. The bid currently sits at $1,250 from Kelly. If you can beat Kelly's bid of $1,250 for the luxury suite Saturday at McMahon Stadium, you can give our producer Alex a call at 403-240-4444. He'll get your information and your bid and all of the proceeds going to our friends at Kidsport Calgary. We talk about Kidsport all the time here on the station. If you're not sure about what they do, a quick synopsis of it is if you are looking to get a kid into sport and financials are difficult, or so, you know, for whatever reason, Patrick, that you can't access sports. It's expensive to play sports. It's expensive to buy groceries, let alone anything else right now. Kidsport helps people do that, whether it's registration fees, equipment, all of that sort of stuff. Kevin and the guys at Kidsport do tremendous work. They don't turn anybody down. Mm-hmm. And as you can imagine, when money gets tight for everybody, places like Kidsport get more demand. And their goal is to make sure they never say no to anybody, so that if your kid wants to play football or your kid wants to play hockey, bring it, whatever it is, they'll find a way to get them involved. And the work they do is outstanding. They're a favorite charity of ours here in the city, and we love to support them. And if you're able to help them out by beating that bid of $1,250, give us a call, 403-240-4444. We'll be taking bids all morning and then into the afternoon with Flames Talk with Pat Steinberg a little bit later on. Again, it's a luxury box at the Calgary Stampeders game this Saturday against the Toronto Argonauts. 16 seats, 4 parking passes, right on the 50-yard line on the east side. It's as good a view as you're going to get at McMahon Stadium. Private bathroom for you guys. No going down to the concourse or anything like that. You got a bathroom, drink area right there. Food's going to be there for you. There's going to be some nachos, some popcorn, chicken wings, all that good stuff that you're going to have at a football game. If you can beat $1,250, give us a call, 403-240-4444. The Calgary Flames' next opponent tonight, the Edmonton Oilers in preseason game number 4. An interesting summer for them. It includes a new starting goaltender and a couple of interesting pieces to fill around Connor McDavid and company. Let's check in ahead of tonight's matchup on the Oilers side of things. Daniel Nugent-Bowman from The Athletic joins us next here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Between these two teams that ends Friday in Edmonton. Welcome back to Sportsnet Today. I'm Logan Gordon. He's Patrick Dumas. To chat about the Flames' next opponent, we go down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline to welcome in Daniel Nugent-Bowman from The Athletic. Good morning, Daniel. How are you?
Not bad. I'm envious of you guys. You've already gone through 3 of these, so that means they're ticking off. The preseason schedule is way too long for my liking, and the faster we get through it, the better.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat as you are. I saw your tweet the other day. 8 is just way, way too many of these to go through, and the storylines, I mean, for us on radio, it at least helps get you through some of the minutia of the day-to-day, but yeah, 8 and 2.5 weeks of this is just too much.
Sure. No, I totally agree, and the faster we get through it and get to real games, the better.
What's the excitement level been in Edmonton following a trip to the Western Conference Final last year? Obviously, not the result the Oilers were hoping for in that series against the Avs, but I imagine it's led to some more expectations and excitement around the group so far this fall.
Oh, absolutely, and especially when you look at the group that has been brought back, it's essentially the same. I mean, they lost Duncan Keith, of course, which, you know, to lose a second pairing defenseman, you know, it was a sizable loss, although, you know, he wasn't perfect by any means here, but, you know, they can backfill that position, I think, pretty well. They brought Brett Kulak back, they brought Evander Kane back. And of course I think upgraded probably in goal in terms of getting Jack Campbell. So, the potential is here for this team to be a little bit better. Of course, you know, there's some teams around them that have gotten better. I think, you know, talking to a lot of people, or a few people, I should say, around the league, consensus I'm getting is people seem to think Calgary is better than it was last season. And, you know, obviously the Flames had a very good year up until the last few games where, you know, they lost out to the Oilers. But so I think the Battle of Alberta is going to be one heck of a rivalry this year. For the 3 games that they play against each other, which is a crime in and of itself when there are 82 games in the season. But I think that's going to be their biggest rival this year. You know, maybe Vegas or Los Angeles, or, you know, maybe Vancouver can kind of sneak in and make life interesting in the Pacific. But I think it's a Calgary-Edmonton showdown for the top spot in the division is what we're looking at this year.
You mentioned him there. Jack Campbell seems to be the big offseason addition for this group, and he'll take over for Mike Smith and form a tandem, presumably with Stuart Skinner, going forward. What's the feel you've gotten from Jack Campbell so far at camp? And I guess the expectation for him this season is, I guess, to come in and sort of solidify that position for the Oilers.
Yeah, so it's going to be the first time since the Cam Talbot days, and not the last year because they brought in Mikko Koskinen, but since Cam Talbot was here, that they're going to have, you know, a goaltender that they feel comfortable being the starter, the guy. The last few years, you know, the plan has always been to run a tandem, and as long as they've been, you know, both goaltenders have been healthy, that's pretty much what they've done. You know, obviously aside from playoffs and then whatnot with Mike Smith starting every game last year. But the expectation is for Jack Campbell to come in and play at least 50 games. You could see him, you know, 55 range, but they feel, the Oilers do, that, you know, they have, you know, a bona fide starting goaltender who's, you know, 30 years old, kind of in a good age range for, you know, being a starting goaltender in this league, having, you know, and a guy that obviously has, you know, had a share of adversity and you know, took a long time from being a, you know, very high draft pick to making it to being a starting goaltender. So he's a young, kind of a young 30, I guess, is one way to put it, in terms of NHL years. And, you know, I think this team, you know, when Mike Smith has been on his game, you know, a couple of years ago, finishing seventh in Vezina Trophy voting, certainly down the stretch, parts of the playoffs, played very well. But you kind of never knew exactly what you're going to get from Mike Smith. You know, he could go on a nice stretch of 930 goaltending and then, you know, another stretch of, you know, 900, 905 goaltending. And, you know, it's very high wire act, as you guys know, in Calgary, from watching Mike Smith play there. So I think you're going to get a lot more stability in that with Jack Campbell. And with the way this team can score, that's really all you need. And Campbell has come in and really started acclimating quite well with his teammates, taking, you know, young guys out to dinner, Stuart Skinner coming in early to form a, you know, starting to form a bond with him. This guy's got a reputation for being an A1 teammate, and you can kind of see why that is early in camp. And of course that doesn't mean very much if you can't stop the puck, but I think with Campbell's case, you know, there could be a little bit of a feeling out process here, but I like what they've done here with the goaltending tandem, and I think it could be an upgrade over what they've had the last little while here.
Let's talk about that group in front of him, or at least directly in front of him. You had made mention, obviously, that Duncan Keith, not with the group anymore this season. They bring back Brett Kulak from last season after acquiring him near the trade deadline. That looked like a successful acquisition. He's with the group now, signed up for 4 more years. But I guess I would ask you, Daniel, who sort of fills in that role for Duncan Keith? Who takes those minutes that he'll leave behind this year? I know that there's a couple of interesting young guys in the organization that Oilers fans are looking to take that next step, and then I'm sure Evan Bouchard will be looked upon to increase his role that, you know, came out last year as well.
Well, yeah, if you look at the left side, they're really looking to backfill. So Brett Kulak, you know, aside from some injuries or there was a suspension in the playoffs to Darnell Nurse, he predominantly played third pairing role. So he's going to be moved up. It looks like right now they have him with Evan Bouchard, who is Keith's partner for the back, we'll say 35 or so games of last season and the playoffs as well. So that should be a pair coming out of camp. Bouchard, you mentioned him. That's an interesting name. He's somebody that certainly offense is a staple of his game. Has a bomb from the point, very good puck mover. But they still have that, you know, Tyson Barry in terms of being the number one power play quarterback. So unless Barry is moved or there's an injury or some underperformance on the power play, I would expect Bouchard's role to be relatively the same, actually. You know, I don't think he's going to get that number one power play spot until there's a need for a change. So going back to the left side, again, it's going to be backfilled. And the expectation is that there is a spot for Philip Broberg, their eighth pick, eighth overall pick from 2019 to be on this team now. You know, he's played 3 years pro, two of which being in Sweden, played 23, I believe, games for the Oilers last season. And the expectation was that he would be ready, and there's a spot for him on this camp or coming out of this camp, but he's got to earn it. And, you know, early expectations or early results rather are, you know, Broberg played one game, a road game where he was one of the more veteran players, maybe not as well or as strong of a showing as say some other guys like Marcus Niemelainen or maybe even Dmitry Samarukov here in Edmonton, but they've only played two games. There's still lots of runway. And there's some kind of roster permutations as well. Like Broberg is going to be on the opening roster for cap reasons. It's just a matter of if he'll stay. But they do have a lot of guys on the left side that can, some younger prospects that could play, you know, a third pairing role. I mentioned the two, Niemelainen and Sam Marukoff being the two prominent ones. And they also brought in Ryan Murray, who was with Colorado last season, didn't play in the playoffs. You know, he's a number two pick that maybe the Oilers should have taken rather than Neil Yakupov 10 years ago. But, you know, somebody that I don't think, again, has a guaranteed spot on the team, but certainly could be a steady veteran if they need him. So there's lots of options to backfill for Duncan Keith here.
We're chatting with Daniel Nugent Bowman of The Athletic, who covers the Edmonton Oilers. They are the opponent for the Calgary Flames the next two nights, including tonight at the Scotiabank Saddledome. I'm Logan Gordon. He is Patrick Dumas. Patrick?
Daniel, this is probably some of the best group of skill guys that McDavid and Draisaitl have had to work with in their time in Edmonton. Talk to me about some of the line mates that McDavid might be working with. I know Evander Kane is back. He's got a new contract. But just talk to me how the top guys are going to be lining up this year.
Yeah, well, I mean, the expectation is that they have six top six forwards, and which is obviously a good thing. It's what you want. And then they've got some other guys that are kind of pressing. So this is a very, you know, I think, as you mentioned, a very highly skilled team and a lot of guys. And right now they've had McDavid line up with Kyler Yamamoto and Evander Kane mm-hmm. and skates. And none of those guys, well, except for Yamamoto, who played in Seattle, close to his hometown of Spokane, have played an exhibition game yet. So that's how that line is looking. And they've had actually a little bit of a surprise in Jesse Puljujärvi kind of playing in the top six a lot with Leon Draisaitl and Zach Hyman. I say a little bit of a surprise. We thought Ryan Nugent-Hopkins would be there as a winger. And Puljujärvi, who really, I mean, his two-way game was good, but he really struggled to produce down the stretch. And there's a lot of talk about his confidence being kind of shattered in the back half of the year. Mm-hmm. The expectation was that he would start the year on the third line with, like, Ryan McLeod, who's just signed prior to camp. And another winger, say, the safe bet was Warren Fogle to kind of just form a third line, take the pressure off. Now Nugent Hopkins is there with Fogle and McLeod. So, I mean, regardless of how you slice it, there's a decent top, or there's very good top nine, and there's, you know, different looks that Coach Jay Woodcroft and his coaching staff could throw out at teams. The one real big wild card here is Dylan Holloway.
Yeah.
Fort Bragg native, just outside of Calgary, of course. And he's had a very good, rookie tournament there in Penticton. Very good. He was the best player on the ice, in my opinion, in their opening preseason game. He'll be, again, like Broberg, he'll be on the team for cap reasons, but if he's not going to be a top nine player, they will send him down to Bakersfield because they don't want him playing, you know, a few minutes on the fourth line. But Jay Woodcroft has said that they're going to give this guy some minutes with in training camp or in the preseason schedule with some more prominent players. You know, he played his first game on a line with Jake Virtanen and I think Brad Malone. Predominantly, he did move around a little bit, but I think if he can get some action with some high quality players, we'll see what he can do. And if he shows well enough, I think they'll try to do their best to create a spot for him. The cap is very, very tight here in Edmonton, but certainly Dylan Holloway, you know, was a guy, you know, if he had been hurt a lot of last season, would have been playing games. He got obviously in their last playoff game there, just played a few minutes, but I think this is a guy that could have a you know, pretty impactful role, you know, in a modest way, I would say, you know, this coming season, if he can continue his upward trajectory here and get on this roster by merit and start playing some games here. Certainly, it's his time. Same with Broberg. It's, you know, mm-hmm. it's their time to really kind of put their stamp on being full-time NHLers here.
Now, Jesse Puljujärvi, he was a name that was getting bantered around in the offseason. Is he going to get traded and whatnot? He ends up staying in Edmonton with the group. How is the relationship between Puljujärvi and the team going forward? Is it going to be okay this year?
He could still get traded, to be quite honest.
Yeah.
You know, the issue is that not a lot of teams have cap room to add a $3 million player. The Oilers have been steadfast saying that they don't want to trade him just for draft picks. Mm-hmm. But the way the cap is, I mean, if they don't make a trade, they're going to have to carry a 21-man roster, maybe even a 20-man roster, depending on how you slice it. If you want to get, you know, Holloway on it's kind of a mess. So, removing a $3 million player would be helpful or taking back very little salary to do so. You know, the issue is in that scenario is the Oilers, in terms of their forward depth, are thinnest at right wing. And, you know, we're already talking about Puljujärvi playing in the top six, whether that's to rebuild his confidence, whether that's to showcase him in a trade. He's still a guy that has played that role and played a lot with Connor McDavid in that top six last year. So, you know, he's a guy that he, from an offensive perspective, the last while has left you wanting more. Mm-hmm. But there is the potential for him to break out. And, you know, as a guy who's, you know, fourth pick, it's a few years ago now, 6 years ago. But he's that guy that if you trade, you might end up regretting. But it is also a kind of a precarious situation for the Oilers where he's only got two more years before UFA. So, they're in win now mode. The expectation is if they think that Jesse Puljujärvi can be a guy that helps them win now, he will stay here. If not, they might have to kind of eat their words and trade him for a draft pick if that helps with the cap situation. It's quite a tough spot that Ken Holland has put himself in. I'll say it like that. For the next couple, and it has to be resolved in some way, shape, or form in the next couple of weeks. But in terms of Puljujärvi, I mean, again, this is a guy that his first preseason game, I don't think was particularly strong, especially against an undermanned Winnipeg Jets team. He's got to really kind of pick it up here, and I think really show that he can be a top six player, or you know, more than the top. Not, you know, he doesn't want to be a third line player. He wants to be a steady top six guy, and he's got to show that. And I think this is his time to do it because there's still the opportunity for him to get dealt here.
Now, the big acquisition last year was bringing in Evander Kane after his situation in San Jose. He came in and he fit like a glove. Like, what is the expectations for Evander Kane? He'll have McDavid alongside him. Now, like, what Oiler fans and even the media are looking out of for Evander Kane?
Well, he scored at a 40-goal pace last year, yeah. And I think that's the expectation again this year. I mean, he's going to have a full year here to get comfortable to play with Connor McDavid. The shooting percentage was, you know, career high, but I think it was just over 14%, which isn't outlandish. Obviously in the playoffs, it bumped up a little bit more when he scored almost a goal a game in the playoffs in terms of games he played with. Of course, he was suspended for the last game, but, I think other than Leon Draisaitl, and it's kind of weird to call him a winger, obviously, but he's played with McDavid a lot during his career, less so certainly in the last little while. But I would say, other than Draisaitl, Evander Kane is the best winger that Connor McDavid's ever played with on any kind of consistent basis. And, he's kind of the perfect match for McDavid because he goes to the net, he's hard on the forecheck, and he can score from everywhere. But the fact that he goes to the net with such willingness, and vigor. I mean, he scores a lot of his goals from that home plate area, which is why the shooting percentage, you know, is not, it could be, I think, close to being repeatable because, you know, he's not getting a lot of these maybe fluky goals or whatnot. He gets in there and finds garbage goals in addition to skilled goals. So the thing, again, with Evander Kane is, you know, can he, you know, put it all together in terms of being, staying out of trouble and those types of things and being a good teammate. He's done that here in Edmonton. Of course, he was needing a new contract. So he's got 4 years left on this deal. And I mean, thing with Kane, I think this is the best team he's ever played for. I think, you know, obviously in San Jose, there were a couple of good teams there, but he's played on a lot of lousy teams throughout the course of his career. And now, you know, as he enters kind of the back half of his career, this is as good a chance, I think, as any for him to win. And so if he's motivated and comes in, you could have a 40-goal player in addition to, you know, McDavid and Draisaitl up in that range too. Draisaitl, of course, being a, you know, multi-time 50-goal guy. So a lot of firepower on this team. And the expectation is for him to stay out of trouble and score 40 goals. It's simply as simple as that for Evander Kane to play with Connor McDavid all year.
One more for me. So just where are the expectations with the Oilers? I know I think, you know, they're a top three team in this Pacific division. You know, you They get to the Western Conference Final, don't win a game there, but that was up against, you know, we know what the Avalanche were. What are the expectations overall for this club heading into this season?
Well, internally, it's Stanley Cup. Now, I mean, you look around the league, I would still say Colorado's probably better, although you don't know what the goaltender that they brought in, you know, backup goaltender for the New York Rangers and Alexander Georgiev. Every team has holes. No team is perfect. I would say that, you know, there's a few teams that you probably think are a little bit ahead of them. You know, the two that made the Cup final, for instance. But I think they're right in that next tier, and you know, they just need to stay healthy. They need to. It's the same thing with a lot of teams, but they certainly have, you know, the talent and the ability to do that. I think this team is coming pretty hungry. Obviously, we'll see in a couple of weeks when the games start for real. But you know, I don't think this team's a finished product like a lot of these contenders you're going to see. Probably a defenseman brought in at the trade deadline, I'd imagine. You know, there's a couple spots here and there to upgrade. I think their biggest concern going to training camp is fourth center, and if that's your biggest concern, I think you've got a pretty good team. And you know, are the Oilers like the favorite to win the Stanley Cup? No, but I think they're in that next tier. And when you have Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl in the primes of their career doing what they did in the playoffs last year, and you're kind of slowly augmenting that group, I think they stand just as good a chance as a lot of teams in this league to do that. So their internal expectations are, you know, that, you know, they're not satisfied, or those have been talking points. So they're not satisfied with making just the Western Conference Final, especially losing out in that series, as you mentioned, in the manner that they did, getting swept by the Avalanche. They've got a lot to prove. And I think, I wouldn't put my money on them necessarily winning the Stanley Cup, but I would, if you're putting a, you know, the Oilers in a top 5-8-ish around the league category, I'd certainly put my money on that. And if they don't make the conference final again, or, you know, even the Cup final, I think it'll be a big disappointment around here. But I think you're looking probably at another very exciting, high-profile divisional final series between Calgary and Edmonton again. That's what I would bet on.
Daniel, last one for you from me, and I just wanted to ask you about Jake Virtanen. He was brought in on a PTO at training camp. I guess just some impressions from what he's been doing so far, and I guess just, you know, the overall question of there'll be a lot of people that, you know, question the morality of bringing in Jake Virtanen, given the accusations that he went through and given that there's still a civil case against him. Did you have any problem with the Oilers bringing him in, and I guess what does it look like so far for him in training camp?
I did, yeah. I wrote about that. I wasn't thrilled with it. I didn't like when they brought in Evander Kane, but I do understand that, you know, with Evander Kane, you know, if you could bring in a player, you can. And, you know, Evander Kane was the guy that was – the team was struggling at the time. They were – they needed some jam in the top six. He was, like, on the ice, the perfect player to bring in. It was the perfect scenario for Ken Holland with the cap. Like, very few teams wanted Evander Kane. They could get him for cheap. Evander Kane was motivated. There were so many things from a hockey perspective that made that the perfect thing. I didn't like the other side of it. And there's a lot of it, of those same kind of uncomfortable, I would say, aspects of bringing in Jake Virtanen. You're right. There's still a civil case, going through. He has, you know, he's been found not guilty, in a criminal court, British Columbia Supreme Court. So, you know, you can't, criticize or fault that aspect of it. He's free to resume his life. But from you know, the other side is the hockey side, where is this the guy that you want to kind of stick your neck out for? I mean, numbers weren't great in the KHL last year. I know there was a lot probably going on in his mind with this court case looming and stuff, and playing in a different country. End of his time in Vancouver didn't go well. They're pretty, as we've talked about in this interview, like they're pretty set in the top six. He's never been a checker. He's never been a penalty killer. Doesn't really check a lot of those boxes for the bottom six. I didn't like it. And so far in camp, I don't want to say I've been proven right, but at least there hasn't been any real signs of bringing him in being a good thing. Again, two games, but hasn't really seemed like a guy who's had the urgency that, you know, his NHL career could be on the line here. They haven't used him on the PK, which shows that they don't have any confidence in him there. Don't think he can do that job. Could he still get a contract? Maybe, because of, you know, we talked about the cap being so tight. Maybe they want, they could waive him, have him in Bakersfield, and have him be a call up at a league minimum price. But I haven't seen a lot there that would warrant any type of contract, strictly from the hockey perspective, let alone the, if you want to call it morality or any illegal with there being still a civil case. So I think he'll play probably tonight in Calgary. You know, I think that they're going to try to get him in as many games early to see, give him as much of a chance as possible. But so far, the Jake Virtanen experiment, I would say, has not been a particularly impressive one for the Oilers in terms of the PR and the decision-making, or for Virtanen himself as he tries to get back into the league.
Daniel, thanks so much for the time. Really do appreciate it. Enjoy the game. Hopefully tonight goes by quicker than the rest of the preseason will for you. We'll chat again during the season, I'm sure. Again, thanks for your time this morning. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, Oilers AGM Bill Scott advocated for running time in preseason, and I would get behind any position that he would sign on that one.
So, I'll be second signature with you on that one, Daniel.
Okay.
Thanks. Take care, pal. Appreciate it. Daniel Nugent-Bowman from The Athletic. You can find him on Twitter at DNB Sports. Yes, the Oilers in town tonight to take on your Calgary Flames. Game 4 of the preseason for the Flames. Game 5 will be up in Edmonton on Friday. So a Battle of Alberta home-and-home series for the Flames and the Oilers. I want to remind you of our kids' sport auction going on this morning. A chance for you to get to McMahon Stadium to see the Stampeders and the Argonauts in a luxury box. 16 seats, 4 parking passes, private bathroom. This is on the 50-yard line on the east side. Saturday night, 5 o'clock, Argos Stampeders. Food for you, nachos, chicken wings, popcorn, the whole shebang, ready for you. We're doing this in support of our friends at Kidsport Calgary. The current bid, $1,250. If you can beat that bid from Kelly at $1,250, give us a call at 403-240-4444. Our producer, Alex, will get your information on the other side. All of these proceeds going to our friends at Kidsport Calgary, who are helping kids get involved in sport. We know how tough it is out there for parents and for kids to get involved in sports. It's already expensive time to be living in general, let alone adding to it when it comes to the cost of sports. So if you can beat Kelly's bid of $1,250, give us a call at Sportsnet 960 here at 403-240-4444. 16 seats in a luxury box to see the Stampeders and the Argonauts. That what we're doing this morning. We'll continue that into the afternoon of Flames Talk with Pat Steinberg. We'll take a break, come back on the other side. New on the Calgary Flames beat, Julian McKenzie from The Athletic. We'll get his impressions of the team through training camp so far and heading into tonight's game against the Edmonton Oilers. He's next on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.